You are listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast for Sunday morning, December 2nd. Dr. Mike Wells preaches a message entitled, The Gift of Generosity.
All right, good. Take your Bible, if you will, and thank you, family. I appreciate that. And, you know, the neatest thing about going on a vacation was just being with family, just to be honest with you. I mean, we had a great time, and the time with the horses was probably the most rememberable thing, and somebody shared in a timeshare they had over in Tyler, so we went there for just a week, and we played putt-putt golf, and tennis was played, and we played some pool. We shot pool together, and we went to thrift store shopping, and we found deals beyond deals, and went to Cece's Pizza. Oh, my. We had pizza, and it was good. And Brother McCarty was losing the weight, and I was picking it up in Tyler. But it was just good. But then we got on these horses. You know, we had this. I used to ride horses a lot when I was a young man, and I used to work at River Valley Ranch. I was a trail worker, and so we would take people out on horseback riding, run through the trails. But it's been years since I rode a horse. I mean, it's just been absolutely years. And so I remembered how to get on it, and that was about it. But we rode down through the forest and stuff like that. Mrs. Wells had this slow. I think the horse was challenged. I really believe that. But had this really slow horse, and I mean, no matter what she did, the horse had one speed: slow. And so all the other horses, they were trained to do this, you know. You didn't have to say giddy up or anything like that. You just, you know, they came to certain parts of the trail ride and they took off. And so here we are, we're coming to this hill, and boy, the horses just take off, you know, and we're galloping up the hill, you know, and we feel like we're in some western thing. And so, but we're galloping up the hill. We look down there, and here's Mrs. Wells coming up the hill on that little, well, when a little horse is a big horse, and she's coming up that hill on that horse. And so I even got behind the horse a couple of times and tried to help it, and it didn't want my help. And so, but we had a great time. Thank you for praying. And then we topped it off Friday night. We went over to Six Flags, and it was the place was just almost empty. Rebecca invited one of her friends. She tries to invite different friends to do different things with us as a family. And so she invited one of her friends, Tammy. And so Tammy went with us. They encouraged me. It's discouraging, Billy McCarty. I'm going to talk to you, but it's discouraging, sir, when you stand in line and you're the oldest guy in line. I mean, that's just downright discouraging. You know, even the adults that was there was younger than I. And so I'm standing in line, Tammy was saying, "Preacher, it's going to be okay, and you can ride this and stuff." I got on that one ride called the Titan. And that thing went up, and it just kept going up. You know, I felt like that we were traveling to the top of bail or something, you know. And so, I mean, this thing just kept going up and kept going up and kept going up, and it was just terrible, you know. And then we got to the top, and it became worse because it came down. And 25 stories drop, boom, at 85 miles an hour. And I said in my Sunday school class that my stomach is still there. But we had a great time, and thank you so much for praying for us as we took some time off, and appreciate that very, very much. Go back to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if you will. Look at verse 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12. The Bible says, "Both riches and honor come to thee." Now watch what it says. It says that thou reignest over all. Now watch, "in thine hand is power and might." And then thine hand, it says, is to make great and to give strength unto all. All right. Now we understand that it is by God's hand that God prospers people. We understand it's by God's hand that God is good to you and I. Now we just finished up two Sundays on faith promise emphasis. Matter of fact, we talked about faith promise giving and faith promise living. And I wanted to kind of tie this into that because I know several were on vacation, and I want you to be able to pick up some things here, but hitting it from a total different perspective this morning. We understand this, that God is the one that blesses us. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. We understand that God is the author of blessings. blessing. God is the one that bestows the things upon you that you have. And we understand that. You know, many years ago, you might have heard the story of Arthur Des Moines. Arthur Des Moines, of course, was a very wealthy, godly businessman. Matter of fact, if you ever saw any of the pro-life advertisements or practicing, abstinence, it was him that paid $500,000 plus to be able to put those on television, and it really changed and salvaged a lot of lives. Well, when the economy dumped several years ago, you listen to this, he was worth at that time $360 million, and when it dumped, he lost an average of $3 million a day. And it just really put a hurt on him. He was attending a church and of course was a great giver in the church, and somebody came up to him in the church and said, well, wait a minute, you know, when you lost all of this money, you know, and in 4 months, by the way, you listen to me, in 4 months, he had lost over $300 million in 4 months. Now, that's a substantial lot of money. All right, he lost that, and somebody came up to him in church and said, well, I guess your generosity is going to be turned back, isn't it? He said, no, no. The way I got here was giving more. The way I'll get back to it is by giving more. And he said, I will turn it up. I will not turn it down. I refuse to sleep. And did you know he turned it up, and today his business is worth double as what it was before all of this started to take place. Why? Because he kept God first through it all. In World War II, there was a slogan that said this, give until it hurts. But may I say, that's not a Bible slogan. A Bible slogan would be this, give until it feels good. Matter of fact, here's what the Bible says. Over in the book of Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, the Bible says, talking about our Lord, it says to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said. Now, by the way, in the Bible where it says remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, that means that he said it often. So what you're about to hear is something that our Lord said often. It was not something that he just said on one day and then walked away, but he said this often, time and time again. Here's what the Bible says, Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so our Lord said often, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, by the way, did he not practice that in his life? Was he not the one that healed those that had a physical disparity? Was he not the one that brought peace to people that had no peace? Was he not the one that brought comfort to those that had no comfort? Was he not the one that would come into somebody's life and help them during the most distressful, during the most complex time in their life? Was he not the one that was used to giving? But that was a part of him. That was a part of his being. That was a part of who he was and who he is today. The Bible says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7, God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, I've never seen that in a Baptist church. But wouldn't it be great if somebody just got cheerful about it? Wouldn't it be great that all of a sudden somebody says, boy, I'm happy about giving. And all of a sudden, sort of like the, I relate back to when we had that hallelujah offering. And by the way, you're seeing the benefit of that hallelujah offering. Those that gave to that hallelujah offering, that's where the furniture came from out there. You know, because you sacrificed and you gave. Now you get to see the reward of your giving and the reward of your sacrificing. But when we had that hallelujah offering and we passed out to the ushers, of course, those cue cards and, you know, if somebody gave $5, they shouted amen. And somebody gave $10, they shouted hallelujah. And somebody gave $15, they shouted praise the Lord. And somebody gave $20, they shouted. And then it got up to somebody gave $100 or more, you know. And boy, they spoke in tongues. And they gobbled while walking down the hall or by walking down here. And we just had fun with it that night. By the way, you can have fun in church. There's nothing wrong. You know, some churches, I wonder, you know, what is going on in that church? How come they have a preacher that never smiles? How come they have deacons that never smile? How come it looks like that there's a funeral going on, if you will, please? And church ought not to be that way. This is the redeemed. And the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And so it is the redeemed that come together, and it's you and I that gather around the word of God. And God gives us these words to be able to help us. And he says, our Lord spoke these words often. He said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Then he comes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 7 where he says, God loveth a cheerful giver. And by the way, you ought to be cheerful in whatever you do. But knowing what God says about giving, you ought to be more cheerful because you're not going to outgive God. You're not going to do something that God himself is not going to bless. Let me give you some statements just by way of introduction, if you will. Giving creates a sense of peace and gratification. You know how it is around Christmas time? Around Christmas time, I don't know if you're this way, but I'm this way. And I'm sure that almost every parent is this way that sits in this room today. It is more gratifying, it is more satisfying to be able to give and to watch your little children open up the gifts and get thrilled about the gift that you yourself had a part in giving than it is to receive the gift yourself. My kids always ask me, they say, Daddy, what do you want for Christmas? And I'm always giving them the same answer, 3x5 cards. You know, I use 3x5 cards quickly. And so I'll say, just give me some three. And they said, Dad, no, we want to give you something that, what they're saying is, we want to give you something that's going to cost us something. So now I'm asking them to give me gold 3x5 cards. But you understand here that there's a gratification in giving. There's a great satisfaction in giving. Years ago, there was up in Boston, there was a florist. His name was Henry Penn. And Henry Penn one day was working in his florist, and in walked two boys and one little girl. And they said, we need to buy a yellow bouquet of flowers. Do you have a sale today on a yellow bouquet of flowers? And he said, well, you know, are you buying them for a funeral, or why are you buying them? And the little girl started to cry, and she said, my brother 2 days ago was riding his bike across the street and got hit by a car, and he's not alive anymore. And she started to cry, and the florist said this, well, how much money do you have? And said, well, we were able to come up with 18 cents. That's all we have is 18 cents. He looked at that little girl, and the little girl said, well, you know, with this 18 cents, could we buy the yellow flowers, the yellow roses? And he said, it just so happens today that we have a dozen roses on sale for 18 cents. Now, by the way, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And there's nothing like being able to meet somebody's need. Let me tell you, those that got those boxes this morning, when you go out there and there's going to be a gratification of going to the store, knowing that you're buying something for someone else, knowing that you're going to be a blessing to someone else, knowing that you're going to meet somebody else's need, there is nothing like that that can replace that. You know, we live in a society today that everybody is seemingly, they want to receive, they want to receive, but they're missing the blessing of being able to give to somebody else. Being able to go to a nursing home and have prayer with somebody and encourage somebody that has nobody else that cares for them. There's a great peace and gratification and a satisfaction that goes along with that. Being able to see somebody walking down the hallway and they look like they're discouraged, they look like they're down, they look like that they've lost their best friend, and to be able to walk up to them and be able to pat them on the back and be able to encourage them, there's great gratification, there's great satisfaction with that. There's great, if you would please, pleasure in being able to help somebody else. I'm saying giving creates a sense of peace and gratification. Here's what happens also. Through giving, you become partners with God in his work. Through giving, you become partners with God and his work. In the book of Exodus, chapter 25, you'll read how they brought their gold and their silver and their bronze and their linens and their fabrics and their spices and their incense and their precious stones and their gems. And they gave that for the building of the tabernacle. In the book of Exodus, chapter 36, in verses 6 through 7, you'll see that Moses stands before them and he said, you don't need to bring any more because we have enough. And by the way, wouldn't that be great in every independent Baptist church in America where they say, just want to let you know something, that you don't need to give anymore, we have enough. But even if a pastor was to say that, you ought to give. Why? Because God blesses the giver. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's in every area of life. Whether it's in the area of forgiveness, or whether it's in the area of helping someone, or whether it's in the area of finances, the Bible talks about as you give, it shall be given to you again. We understand this. We understand that giving creates a sense of peace and gratification. We understand that through giving, we become partners with God in the work of God. We understand that giving generously develops a greater trust in God. As a person steps out and they give generously, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Peter, as we studied right before I went on vacation on a Sunday night, as I preached how the Lord entered into Peter's ship that was brought out of the lake as it was standing by. And the first thing the Lord said is thrust out of little. And then he said, thrust out into the deep. Well, you have to learn to thrust out a little before you can go deep. But you and I always ought to be heading towards the deeper, towards using the greater faith. One of the exercises that you ought to practice in your life is allowing God to exercise your faith. Now, how can we do that? I want you to go in your Bible this morning and let me show you some scripture. Genesis chapter 22, if you will. Genesis chapter 22. I want to give you four pictures this morning and then we'll go home. But I want you to see four pictures of giving this morning from people that gave. And I want you to understand the blessing of being able to do that. Now, watch this, if you will. Genesis chapter 22. You're going to like this in your Bible, because this is the word of God, and this word of God that we're speaking from this morning, I promise you, would change your life in this area if you'll take and look at it, examine it, and let God use it in your life. Here's the story of Abraham. Genesis chapter 22 and in verse 3, the Bible says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him," now watch it, "and Isaac his son." Now, he took the wood and he clave it there. They're heading up now to the mount. He's going to give a sacrifice. You know that sacrifice is going to be a son that he lays down. I want to give you some considerations. Abraham's son was a precious possession to him. He'd known his son for years. This is not an infant. This is a son that's able to walk. This is a son that he had developed a relationship with. And so no matter what possession you have, we have to understand that that possession belongs to God. My Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. So everything that is in this earth belongs to God. Now, what does that mean? That means that everything you touch, everything you own, everything you walk upon, that means the very being that you are today belongs to God. And so you as an individual belong to God. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says here that he told those two young men and he told his son Isaac, "Now you come with us and we're going to go up." Now watch this in verse 5. The Bible says, "And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." So here you see that Abraham had a precious possession. Here, this precious possession was his son. He had his son for years. You know, the hardest things to give up is those things that you have for years. What if all of a sudden, Sunday night, we gave an invitation, and I think that there was 14 or 15 people that came to the platform and said, making it public that I surrender or have surrendered to be a missionary. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to allow your child to fulfill the will of God. One of the hardest things you will face in your life. I was over at Longview Baptist Temple on Wednesday night. We got there a little bit early for fellowship. And Brother Gray came up to me and he said, he was looking at Rebecca and he was picking on Rebecca and saying, "You know, well, when did you get the braces and all this stuff? And boy, you've grown up," because, you know, of course, we've known that family for now well over 20 years. And so even long before she was born. And so he said, "You know, you're growing up and stuff like that." And he said, "You know, when my daughter got married, I about died. You know, because she was leaving." He said, "But now that grandbabies are coming, I'm alive again." You know, one of the hardest things it is, you know, those of you that fall in love or is in love, you think this is wonderful. One day I'm going to walk down an aisle and the preacher is going to say, "Do you?" And you will say, "I do." And then you walk out and you start your new life. But did you know, you leave your parents with a void. Now, what does that mean? That means you should still leave them with a void. You should still get married. Amen. You know, I'm excited about our kids growing up. Now, I want them to take their time. I want them to be able to have God's best in their life. I want them to wait for God's best in their life. I don't want to push them out the door. But then once they get married, I want to push them out the door. All right? Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. Here is Abraham. Abraham had developed a great relationship with his son. This is not a baby. This is not an infant. They have walked together. They have worked together. They have accomplished things together for years. And so now it comes time for him to climb the mountain. He's taken his son with him. And now he knows that God is going to require of him to lay down his own son as a sacrifice. And as they go up that last stretch of the mountain, he turns to those that are abiding by the donkeys. And he says, now I tell you this, look at it, if you will, again in your Bible, where he says in verse 5, he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. He had a great faith. He knew what God had required, but the same God that was going to take a life is the same God that he knew could raise the life. The same God that was going to require a great sacrifice is the same God that could give back as the sacrifice was given. Notice, if you will, in verse 8, Genesis 22, the Bible says, my son, listen, it says, God will provide himself a lamb. And so he knew that God was the one that was going to give the provision. Look at it in chapter 22 and in verse 13. The Bible says that he lifted up his eyes and he looked and behold, it says, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Now, by the way, watch this, if you will. This is so significant. Here he is. He has this precious possession. This precious possession is his son. He has built a relationship with that possession. That possession is, if you will, please, his most prized possession. He loves this possession. He loves his son. For many, many years, this became the one thing, the one person that he focused on, if you will, as a father and a son would do. Now, all of a sudden, God requires for him to give that precious possession that he has known and loved and, if you would please, held tight for many, many years. God requires him to give that away. But as he gives that away, God is using his faith, and only after he gave it away did he look up and see that God had provided himself a sacrifice. See, here's what happens. You say, well, I tell you what, I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away. I've got this precious possession. I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away. I don't want to give it away. I'm just going to hold on to it. I don't want to give it away. Until you give it away, God cannot bless you. Until you give it away, God cannot give it back to you in a greater fashion than what you gave it. We have to understand here, the Bible is talking in Genesis chapter 22 and in verse 13, where it says that he lifted up his eyes and he looked and behold, it says, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. Look down at verse 16. The Bible says, thou hast done this thing and thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. Look at verse 17. In blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars in the heaven and as the sand. And it says, which is upon the seashore, and it says, thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Look at verse 18, Genesis chapter 22. And it says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Or no, wait a minute, he has a son. The son he's only had for a couple of years, if you will, maybe 10, 20, 30 years. He's got the son. They build that relationship. But he gives that most precious possession away. And because he did, now a nation is going to be saved. Now a nation is going to be blessed. Why? Because he gave his son. See, the thing that causes you to sacrifice the most, stay with me, is the thing that God will bless the most. But if it's little sacrifice on your part, there's little blessing on God's part. To whom much is given, much is required. My Bible talks about that a good steward is the one that God gives things to. Why? You know, God will give more through you than God will give to you. Did you know that God will want to bless other people? And what a blessing it is to be like our Lord Jesus that would go around. And our Lord Jesus was one that was commonly known as one that would give. And as he would say, disciples, gather around me. You remember the little lad is more blessed to give than to receive. You remember the time of the lady that could not see, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Do you remember the time when there was the one laying beside the pool and only wanting to be able to enter it, and it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? You remember the time when we went over and there was those that were of a great need? You remember the time that Peter was drowning and it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? All throughout his life, he practiced that. He practiced giving and meeting a need, giving and meeting a need. No selfish intent did he have in his entire heart. He was just looking for ways to be a blessing, looking for ways to help people, looking for ways to be able to, and what a time of year to be able to do that. Christmas is a time where we say, boy, this is the time of giving. This is the time of recognizing the Christ child. This is a time of recognizing the Savior of the world. But as we do that, let's practice our Christianity. We notice this, statement number one, you'll see that there's the faith of Abraham. He had a large possession, something that was in his presence for many years. He gave it, and because he gave it, he gave the son, God blessed an entire nation through him. Let's notice something else. Go to Exodus chapter 2, if you will. Exodus chapter 2. Look at verse 1. Exodus chapter 2 and in verse 1. The Bible says, there went, it says, a man of the house of Levi says, and took, it says, to wife a daughter of Levi. The Bible says, and the woman conceived and bare a son. When she saw that the son, or when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now watch this. You had Abraham that had a son. Abraham had a son that was his son for years. Now here's a lady, if you will, that has a son only 3 months. Now the first son that was given, you'll see Abraham gave his son, and God said, I'm going to salvage a nation because of your son. You gave your son, I'm going to give to you through your seed a nation. Notice this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, if you will, here, that Moses' mother, she exercised her faith. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 3, the Bible says, and she could no longer hide him. Look at the latter portion of the verse. Laid him in flags by the river's brink. And so she exercised her faith. She said, I have this child. I have this possession. I've only had it 3 months. I've only had this possession, this child, 3 months. And he's a goodly son. He's a goodly child. I don't want him to be destroyed. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hide him. Wait, here's what the Bible says. Exodus chapter 2 and in verse 8. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, says, and to the maid, it says, go. It says, and the maid went and called the child's mother. So now, wait a minute. Here's a mother, had a precious possession, gave that possession away, stepped out by faith, trusting God as she hid the baby in the flags, built an ark, hid the baby in the flags. And the Bible says that God blessed her faith so much now that she was called to raise the baby. Watch this, if you will. Here's what the Bible says in verse 9. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee wages. He said, I'm going to pay you for taking care of the baby. You take care of the baby, and I will pay you. Now, wait a minute. Here, if you will, is the giving of a man, a father that had a precious son, a precious possession, and that son, that possession, had for many, many, many years. And he said, I'm going to lay it down as a sacrifice. And may I tell you, the longer you have a possession, the greater sacrifice it is. Come on. The deeper the love, the deeper the commitment, the harder it is to give. The more you become attached to something, the more difficult it is to give it to God. But when you give those things to God that are more difficult to give, God is the one that reaches down and God blesses that gift in a greater capacity. Because the greater the sacrifice, the greater the blessing. Here's what the Bible says about this dear woman, the mother of Moses, had that child only 3 months. And God said, well, you trusted me, so I'm going to give you back your child to raise. And not only that, I'm going to pay wages for you to be able to raise the child. What is that? That's the goodness of God. Oh, let's look at something a little bit more narrow. Can we do it? 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 12. This is the story of a widow that lived in poverty. The Bible says, and she said, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cruise. And she said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to gather 2 sticks. I'm going to dress it for me and my son. Then here's what she said. She said that we may eat it and die. So she had enough for just one day. So we've gone from years, and God said, the bigger sacrifice, the greater the reward. Here's a man, Abraham had a son for years, a precious possession for years, gave that, and God said, greater is your reward. Here's a mother, Mary, that had a baby for only 3 months and was given back to her that child to be able to raise, and was given years with that child. And God was going to use Moses in a magnificent way. Here you'll see that here's a mother that just has enough for one day. So you've gone from years to months to one day. And God says, I'll tell you what, I can even bless you if you give me what I've given you for one day. See, our Lord said it's more blessed to give than to receive. You say, but I've had this a long time. But what is God asking of you about it? But I've only had this a couple of months. But what is God asking of you about it? But I've had this only one day, preacher. But what is God asking of you about it? See, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore, it says, a little cake first. Bring it on to me. And after, watch what he says, make thee for thy son. Now wait, so she's just got enough for one cake. But Elijah's faith was greater than hers. Because Elijah knew if she would just obey God, God was going to supply. The Bible says in verse 14, the Bible says, and the Lord God said of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste. Neither, it says, shall the cruse of oil fail. Verse 15, the Bible says, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. Now, wouldn't that be good just to park there a while? She just went and did. That's a whole sermon. Just went and did, went and did, went and did, went and did. And if God tells you to do something, here's what you ought to do. You ought to decide that you're going to be that person that is described as they went and did. Whatever God requires of you, you go and do. Now, here's what happens. Watch this. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 15. The Bible says, he and her house did eat many days. Verse 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 17. The barrel, it says, of the meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of the oil, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. Now, here's what the Bible says. So she stepped out using her faith, only had enough for a day, but she gave it, and because she gave it according to the word of Elijah, according to the word of the Lord, she gave it, and God blessed her. Now she's eating many days. See, have you noticed this? Here was a father that had a son for many years. Now generations are going to come through that seed to come. There's going to be multiple blessings according to the obedience of the individual that gives. The greater the sacrifice, the greater the reward. Here is an individual that decided, okay, I've got a baby. I've only had the baby for 3 months, but I'm going to trust God. And she gave the baby, and the baby was given back for her to raise into adulthood. See, you cannot outgive God. A person decides that they step up and they try to do their very best, and God steps back and says, I can do better than that. But God doesn't need your money. God wants you to be able to need him. As you give out of a sacrifice, and that's what missions is about. And as you give out of a sacrificial life, that's what godly living is about. And as you do that, God says, here's what I'm going to do. The greater the giving, the greater the receiving. Let me give you one more and I'm done. How about the faith of the little lad? John chapter 6 and verse 9. Here's what it says. There's a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Now here's this little lad, and all he's got is a lunch. Abraham had a precious possession for years. Moses' mother had a precious possession, if you would please, for just 3 months. There was the widow woman that had a precious possession for only one day. Here's a lad that has a precious possession for only one meal. See, everybody can obey God in some way. So here's a lad that only has a precious possession for one meal. The Bible says in verse 10, and Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so that the men sat down in the number about 5,000. That's a male head count. And so somebody's counting heads. So there's 5,000 men that sit down. Doesn't mention the women. Maybe because the men were the greater eaters. I don't know. But you know that many of these men were married. So just for sake of illustration, let's say each one of them was married. That's 10,000. Let's say that each one of them that was married had one child. That's 15,000. Let's say that they're like the common American family, where the common American family has two children. All right, so now that's 20,000. Well, let's say they're like the typical Jewish family that would have four, five, six, or seven children. You're talking about a whole heap of people that's wanting to be fed. And so he said, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to make them all to sit down. Now, by the way, God knows what he's going to do long before you even have a clue. They weren't sitting down to play spiritual twiddlings. They were sitting down because God was going to do something. And sometimes you have to understand, sometimes here's what God requires. God requires you just to sit still. Well, you know, preacher, I've got to handle it my way. God might be just saying, why don't you sit down and let me handle it my way? We get in such a fired up hurry to take care of every problem. And may I suggest to you this morning that you're not supposed to take care of every problem. May I suggest to you that sometimes God says, look, I just want you to sit down and watch me work. That's what I want to do. But until you're sitting down, you cannot outlook there and see exactly what God's going to do because you're in the way. You're busy. You know, sometimes it's good just to come apart so you can see what God wants to do. See, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says in John chapter 6 and verse 10, he says, to make the men to sit down, there's much grass in the place, so that the men sat down a number of about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves. Now, where did he get the loaves? It's from the children. Probably Andrew was the one that went up to the child, to the lad, if you will. The Bible says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed those to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, likewise the fish, as much as they would. Don't you like to go eat at a place where it's as much as you would? I was at a restaurant not too long ago, and it was during the days where I was fasting for several weeks on end, and I was at a restaurant, and we had our campaign winners, you know, and it was hard on some of those days. I'd take out soul winners, and we'd be soul winning, and I didn't want my soul winning partners to starve, and so normally on a Saturday, I'd take out two to three soul winners, and we'd go out for 2 hours each. So I'd take a morning soul winning partner, afternoon soul winning partner, late afternoon soul winning partner, so I get to spend time with different men and teenage boys that's in our church. And so I would go out soul winning, and my partner, it would always be my morning partner, would say, you know, hey, I'm hungry. This is during the time I was fasting. You know, and I was drinking my carrot juice. I was being a good boy. It was a juice fast. And so I was drinking my carrot juice, and here we're pulling up at McDonald's, and they're getting french fries and hamburgers, and I'm sitting there, and I'm drinking my carrot juice. Man, I tell you, that was the rough days of life. But I remember going and taking our winners of the campaign, you know, those that brought the most visitors and had the most soul winning hours and stuff like that, and people that were saved, people who were baptized, and so we took them out. We went to a very nice restaurant. I think it's called Furs. Is that right? Furs. Oh, a smorgasbord type of thing. You go through the line, and you can go through the line multiple times. There is no limit. Brother McCarty, you cannot do this. And you go through that line over and over again. And man, I'm watching these dear people that I love that earned first and second place in their divisions and stuff like that. And they're going through the line over and over and over. And I'm sitting there with my glass of water. And may I say, it was a delight when you're hungry later on to get something to eat. These disciples had worked hard. These people sitting on the side of the hill, no doubt they were hungry. They've been following the Lord for some time. So no doubt they were hungry, and the Lord said, sit down. They knew something was about to take place. This little lad probably just skipping along the ridge of the mountain, and then all of a sudden, here comes Andrew. Andrew stops him and says, the Lord has need of your lunch. He didn't argue. He didn't say, my name is on the bag, not yours. He said, you can take this, and he gave the lunch, and the Bible says that the Lord blessed it and multiplied it. See, little is much when God is in it. And so the Bible says that he multiplied. Look at verse 12 and I'm done. The Bible says here in verse 12 and 13, the Bible says, and we were filled, it says, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments, it says, that remain, that nothing be lost. And so he told the disciples, he said, look, you go out there and you get everything that's left. Now watch this, if you will. Verse 13, and they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets, it says, with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remain over and above, it says, onto them that had eaten. So there's 12 basketfuls full. Now, pray tell me, what do you think that was for? Here, this little boy gave his fish. He gave his bread. The disciples go out, being obedient to the Lord, gathers up the 12 fragments that remain. Who do you think got that? Well, according to the Bible, if we stay with Bible principle, as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So the boy gave his lunch, and he had 12 basketfuls of lunches to be able to take home. Can you imagine his mama, as she's standing at the door, and if you would please, that Jewish apron. And all of a sudden, here comes this little lad, if you will, and here's all these preachers following. And the little lad says to the preachers, hurry up! Mama's waiting. Hurry up. And so the 12 is coming and they're following the little lad. And the little lad goes to the door, says, Mama, you won't believe what happened. The Lord had need of my lunch and I gave it. And look what God did. God multiplied back to me greater than what I gave. Now, by the way, that shows me that every little child can give. Because as a little child gives, look, a parent says, well, I tell you what, my child is not old enough to understand. Look, if they're old enough to understand that God exists and God is the supply, then they're old enough to understand that as they give, God will bless them. And there's no better time to train your child than when they're young. Let me give you this. Many years ago, we were training our children, and as before we learned about the envelope system that we teach here at our church, but we were training our children, and so when we first began, we would say, you know, this pocket is for God, and this pocket is for you. You know, now you don't take out of the pocket that is for God. What is in the pocket for God goes to God. What's in the pocket for you goes for you. Don't cheat God out of his pocket. All right, then we started doing the envelope system. I think we started off with jars many years ago. And we'd have different jars that was in the room. And they would put different coinage in different jars. And there was a tithing jar. And there was the missions jar. And there was the needs jar and stuff like that. And so we taught them. They started buying their own shoes. Boy, wasn't that a blessing. Never will forget. Jonathan came to me one day and said, Dad, I got a great idea. He's regretted it ever since that day. He's 13, I think. He came to me and said, Dad, I got a great idea. He said, I'd like to start buying my own shoes. I said, that's great. Shake. So we shook. I said, that's a great idea. I think you ought to do that. He said, well, Dad, he said, so you don't have to worry about me anymore. I'll take care of my own shoes. I said, great, super. So we were in a shoe store the very next day, and he saw these athletic shoes, and they were expensive. And he came to me, and he said, Daddy, can you give me money to buy the shoes? I said, no, sir, we shook. We agreed. You said you're going to buy your own shoes. God bless you. He said, but Daddy, he said, they're nice shoes. And I said, they were nice shoes yesterday, but you shook. And he said, oh, and so we taught our children to pray, and they prayed for many things, and God gave it to them. And so Jonathan started praying out loud audibly. Now, you know, when your son is in the middle of a shoe store, he starts praying out loud audibly, what do? You run. You know, you get outside, you start pointing to him like, who's that kid? And man, you know, he's praying out loud audibly, you know, but he had his head down and he's praying, dear God, you know, I've been a soul winner. And he's calling out all the, dear God, you know, I've lived for you. And God, would you please give me the, and he looked up. And when he looked up, he only had a couple dollars in his pocket. He's only 13 or so. He only had a couple dollars in his pocket. And when he looked up, he saw a pair of tennis shoes that was on sale, marked down, marked down, marked down, marked down to the amount that was in his pocket. So what is that? That's God. Come on. Hey, I'll give you another one. You ready for this? We always try to help our children with their first vehicle. If we could, we tried to pay at least 50% of the first vehicle that they would ever buy. And so, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. But, and so it came time for him to get a vehicle. And we went down, and he picked out this vehicle. He liked this vehicle and just drove it and drove it till recently it just decided to quit. But he picked out this vehicle. And so he picked out this vehicle. It had all the bells and whistles. And so, man, you know, he was going to pay $2,000-something. We were going to pay $2,000-something. And we gave him the check, our check. I mean, daddy's money, mama's money, sacrificial giving. And so we gave. All right, what? They never cashed the check. I kept calling him over and over and said, you never cashed the check. Well, you know, we don't have record of that. And so, but I gave you the check. And they sent us the title. We own the vehicle. I said, but you need to go back because you never. The money is still in our bank. Well, you know, we don't have any record of that, and so it must be our heir. Don't worry about it. See, but it was because of the fact that we had predetermined to do some things. I think that God looked down and said, okay, you need that money, and so what I'm going to do is I'm going to help with that. See, God does that. I said, God does that. See, do you understand that when a person decides, just be like our Lord and go around and saying, look, here's what I'm going to do. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. It's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And look for ways to be a blessing to people. Look for ways. Look for ways to be a blessing. And also, listen to me, as you give unto the Lord, you understand that you cannot outgive God. You can't do it. Every single one of these incidences that was given to the Lord. Here was a man that had a son for many, many years. Great possession. Gave, and God used the son to salvage, yea, and to give, if you would please, multiple blessings to his people. You had a widow, if you will, that just had a little. Oh, well, no, wait. You had that which was that son that gave, or that dad that gave, and through that son, multiple years of blessings. You had Moses' mother, only 3 months. Gave, and that child stayed with her all through those years. You had that widow woman that gave, if you will, of that one day food, and she had food to eat many days thereunto until the rain came. You'll see that there's the lad that gave of his one meal, and God provided those 12 baskets full. See, God wants to bless you and will bless you in proportion that you're obedient to him.
Thank you for listening to the Parkside Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church, you can visit us online at pbcmesquite.org. Or if you're ever in the Dallas, Texas area, we'd love to have you come visit our church.